Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 as we come to the conclusion of this first epistle that Paul wrote to the church, to the believers in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul now comes to the conclusion where he has previously laid out the foundation, the theology, the reason what should lay hold of our hearts and that should come out of our being in practical action. Should there be any doubt, Paul now lists for us some of these practical actions of how a Christian, any Christian, ought to live. Sometimes people go to the end and then work back to the start. That is a mistake. That ends in people being a people of rules and regulations, saying, do this and don't do that. Paul was of a different mind in that he started with the heart and he worked from the inside out rather than from the outside in. He went straight to the heart and he spoke to people about the need for repentance, the need of a change of heart, the work of God's Spirit in their heart that would then result in outward action. Otherwise, we are simply left with moralizing and rules and regulations. But Paul was thinking of action yet. As I read through these verses, I'm caught by the actions that are encouraged and directed for these people, for them and for us. Some years ago, as I was working with radio tape, there was some new equipment that came into the studio where I was doing weekly duty. And I said to the person who was overseeing the work, I said, look, don't give me the owner's manual. Just tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I do. I don't want to know all of the intricacies of this machine. Tell me what specific button I need to push and where I need to draw the line. Well, here, Paul, in pithy directions, he gives this to us. And I am caught by the action words, those verbs. And let me run through them ever so quickly that you get a sense of the character that Paul would want us to adopt and be known for. Verse 12, appreciate. Verse 13, esteem, live.
in peace. 14, admonish, encourage, help, be patient. Verse 15, avenge not, seek. 16, rejoice. 17, pray. 18, give thanks. 19, quench not. 20, despise not. 21, examine, hold. 22, abstain. Now just about any of these single words could be taken, and though good in and of themselves, they could be misused. For instance, verse 15, seek. Well, what are we to seek? Verse 21, examine. Well, what are we to examine? What are we to hold? He gives us exactly what we are to do in every point. But here he's talking about how we are to live with one another, how the world is watching us. Remember that these brothers and sisters in Christ had had precious little instruction from Paul and his party as they were driven out. And so here we are once again in a pressured situation. These people had come to Christ, had stayed true, had held the line, but there was this constant pressure. And Paul says to them, you cannot strike back, and you cannot be lashing out at others even as they want to lash out at you. You need to be of a different quality and character. In verses 23 and 24, Paul once again brings them full circle. He speaks of the God of peace, who desires to sanctify them fully and entirely. And in verse 24, Paul says, faithful is he who calls you. So here we have three characteristics of God that Paul especially wants to draw out and to hold before these Thessalonians as he is about to sign off. He says, God is a God of peace. God is a God who is holy. God is a God who is faithful. These Thessalonians, they needed to hear this once again because they were under pressure, as I said. The penalty, or the cost rather, of serving Christ was ever before them. But Paul says, the God of peace. Some of these Thessalonians were not living in peaceful times, and their homes were anything but peaceful places. But Paul says to them, God is a God of peace, and you are to, in like manner, to be people of peace. In Isaiah chapter 6, as Isaiah hears and he sees what is hardly expressible in human language, the Lord lifted up high and exalted on his throne, he hears, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Here, Paul also holds out that he, God, will sanctify you entirely. That word sanctify comes from the same root word in the Greek language that we get the word holy from. And so what Paul is really saying is that now may the God of peace himself make you completely holy. May he sanctify you entirely. And as God is holy, so he desires his people to be holy. In spirit, in soul, and in body, complete. A complete entity, holy unto the Lord, separate unto him. Then also in verse 24, Paul says, faithful is he who calls you. Many of the ancient Roman and Greek deities were anything but faithful. But when Paul comes to Thessalonica and Athens and Philippi and Berea and other places, he holds out the Lord who is faithful. And he says, if we are to be his people, then this is what we are to be, people of peace, even as God is a God of peace. We are to be people who are holy in our bodies and in our thoughts, in our every component. We are to be holy. And Paul also says, faithful is he, and so faithful are we. Faithful is he who calls you. These people needed to know that they had been called, and that it was not Paul's voice that had done the calling, but that it was God's voice that had called them out of depravity, out of wickedness, and out of sin that they could do nothing about. He had called them unto himself. But what was the future to be? He who calls you is faithful, and he will also bring it to pass. Well, Paul had just also spoken that we would stand without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, surely you have walked with Christ. If you are walking with Christ, you've walked with him long enough to know that the devil is a guerrilla warrior. He does not want anyone to advance in holiness or to grow into a mature believer in Christ. He would want to tear us down. He would want to rip, and he would want to claw any part of us back to himself that he could have. Paul comes along and he says, you who have just started to walk with Christ, and you've grown wonderfully, you've started the road so very well, and I commend you and I encourage you, and I would want to see you go ever further. He would say, you can know with confidence that though there are struggles, though there are trials, though there are times when you've messed up and when you've gone back on your commitment, that God is continuing that good work in you, and that one day you will stand not with your head all hung down in shame, but that God, who is doing the great work of making you holy, he will cause you to stand before his presence without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's radical. It's almost unthinkable in this world's terms, except for what we read here. Faithful is he. Faithful is he. Do you remember in the story of Abraham, and how that one day Abraham was told by God, Abraham, we're going to make a covenant, you and me, and I want you to take some animals, and I want you to cleave them, I want you to slice them in two, and you lay part on the right side and part on the left. And this was an ancient tradition where two people would make a covenant. They would walk in between the parts. It was a blood covenant. And God said, Abraham, we are going to make a blood covenant. Abraham does this. He gets it ready. But then God causes a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham. And God comes down and he passes through in the form of a smoking oven. He comes down and God passes through the midst of these animals that had been torn in two. And you say, well, where was Abraham? God wanted his covenant not to depend or not to be canceled out by the faithlessness of a man. He wanted his covenant to stand because God knew we don't always hit the mark, but God does every time. So the covenant that God had with Abraham and with his descendants stands. Here Paul, in like manner, says, faithful is he. Faithful is he. And he will bring it to pass. Though we fail him, sadly fail him, yet he continues the work as we come and as we say, Lord, cleanse me afresh. Bring me back to yourself. May I know what it is to stand before you blameless at your coming. He will do it. He will do it. Paul concludes. He says, pray for us. I love this portion of Scripture, and I've loved this portion ever since I was a little kid, because whenever at a boys' or girls' club or in Sunday school, you needed to memorize a whole lot of verses, I loved these short little ones. It goes in the ranks of the gospel where that one little verse, Jesus wept. Well, here are wonderful little verses that even those of us whose memories now are deeply challenged, we can still lay hold on these. Rejoice always, there's one, and pray without ceasing, there's another. But here, verse 25, another one. Brethren, pray for us. Now, Paul, in numerous times, both here in Thessalonians and in other epistles, he has spoken about how that he prays for those round about him, his dear friends and those who have come to faith in Christ as a result of the ministry and witness that Paul and Silas and Barnabas and so many others have given. But Paul turns it around and he says, pray for us. The great apostle, the man who would pen or effect the penning, because really so much of Luke's account we receive through Paul, and Luke was the one who actually wrote Luke and Acts, but Paul had such an influence there. Hear this man who, through whom so much of the New Testament comes, he says humbly, look, pray for us. We are not strong in and of ourselves. We need to have God's Spirit so pouring into us in a constant way. Pray for us. Oh, pray for those who are in authority over you, even as we have done in a political sense. But pray all the more for those who serve in gospel ministry of one kind or another. Verse 27, Paul says, I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. Paul wanted this to be spread around, and so thank the Lord that we have it among us today. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And that is a perfect way for Paul to sign off to these ones who he loved so dearly. Yes, he would write to them again, but put yourselves in Paul's shoes. He didn't know what was coming on in the next day. And the Thessalonians, they didn't know that they would receive further instruction. And so here, I'm sure it was a sweet word as Paul signs off and he says, grace, grace to you. Have you received God's gift of grace? Have you received his gift of forgiveness? You can today. Jesus Christ came to die on Calvary's cross that we might know life, and that we might know peace, and that we might know a God who is faithful to his word, and that we might know what it is to walk in an unclean world as clean vessels. Have you come to know God's grace? Like, I mean, really know it. You can today by simply saying, Lord, come to this heart. This heart so messed up, so defiled, come and cleanse, move in, and take control. As you simply pray that, you change everything about you and then go on to be Christ's true disciple.